people you talk to on both sides of the ledger, or any side of the ledger, management, coaches, players, agents, et cetera, et cetera. What is the general consensus on the Orlando hub situation, the 8-game regular season leading into a full bore playoffs? Are you sensing generalized support?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I not to dismiss some of the, you know, the voices we've heard, you know, most prominently Kyrie Irving and some of the concerns that have been raised. I think, you know, I think there's an understanding that getting this off the ground is a massive undertaking. And, you know, there's a tremendous incentive for both sides for it to work. And, you know, and if you're a player, you know, at a certain stage of your career or on a certain level of team, like, you know, these chances to win, they don't come around, right? So you got to, you know, I think there's that. I think the rank and file, I certainly would hope, would understand how significant it is to kind of get this thing up and running and keep the financial wheels that have created a very lucrative lifestyle for all concerned, keep those greased and rolling. And, you know, and then on the playing side, I think there's an appreciation that it's been done pretty measured. There's a good period of time to build up coming off a long dormant period. And, you know, and the fact that, you know, I was personally looking for a more creative playoff type structure just because of the uniqueness of the situation. But I think those who actually are in the business of basketball just appreciate the familiarity of it, the recognizability of it, and, you know, they're ready to get to work.
What were some of those changes, Michael, that you would have liked? I mean, the Raptors are going to end up with the 8-game regular season playing, what, 72 of what would have been 82 regular season games, and then you get a full run of playoffs. I mean, this is about as legit as it could possibly get in this extremely weird situation. What were some of the changes you would have advocated for?
Well, the one that jumped out to me was an opportunity to do type of a World Cup style pool play to replace the first round, and you know, so you would have had 20 teams, not 22. And, you know, four pools of five teams, and you play within your pool. The top two teams advance, a total of 8 teams advance, and then, boom, you're into the second round. And I liked it because I thought you would have had some really marquee matchups and important games right out of the chute. You know, the first round of the NBA playoffs can often be a bit perfunctory, right? Like, I mean, there's almost never – I think there's only been one – I don't think there's ever been an 8-seed upset a 1-seed. There's only been one 7-seed do it, and not since I think they went to 7-game series. So, you know, so I think you would have had really juicy games right out of the gate. And, you know, leagues everywhere have been looking at how to expand their playoff format. And I thought, you know, this kind of pool play where you have to 20 teams, you know, that's something that you could have carried over into the regular season. Into a more regular, normal environment in the future, but you could do it because there's no travel restrictions here. So if Toronto's in a pool with Portland, normally that'd be a big problem, and you know, obviously because everyone's in one place, it's not. So I just think that the fact that you had all your teams in one place with no travel issues, no home court issues, it really lent itself to try and do something a little bit unique, but. You know, I respect the choices they made, and you know, I think these 8 regular season games, you know, they're going to have seeding implications, a lot of them, so I think there'll be some good basketball to watch there, too.
Michael Grange is our guest. He's Sportsnet's Raptors and NBA insider. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Is there any word on if a player does get COVID, how long they're going to have to sit out? Because, I mean, we've seen different people that affect them, you know, they're sick a couple days. We've seen other people, they're in the hospital for weeks, right? George Laurock's been on our show, and he was in and out of the hospital briefly, but now it's totally recovered. Like, say a guy like I don't know, Giannis gets it or Lowry. And what do, I mean, what do you do? Say you get sick and you can play, or you get sick and you get it out of your system and you're not contagious anymore. Can you come back and play? Do they have anything set in place for those situations?
They do. The return to play document, I think it's like 107 pages, and you know, they covered a lot of ground in it.
Yeah.
My understanding is that if a player tests positive, there's like an isolation protocol within the Disney Resort. So they, you know, it's kind of like the you go there if you got the cooties kind of thing. You're off limits, and you're there until you test negative two times. So whatever length of time that is, you know, and as you pointed out, Mike, I mean, luckily, fortunately, touch wood, most of, if not all, as I'm aware of, the athletes, and certainly the NBA athletes that have had COVID-19 have, you know, it's been kind of at the milder end of the spectrum. These are just incredibly healthy young people, and they get laid out for a day or two, and then they're back at it. They're good. So I think that's the idea behind that. But, you know, what's going to be interesting is there is this interim period between now, roughly, the end of June and when the teams actually gather in Orlando. There's about a 10 to 15-day period there. And, I think teams are starting to test formally their own players on the 23rd of June. And that's all designed to, you know, there's almost like a presumption that players are going to test positive in this, that kind of 2-week period before they're expected to be in Orlando en masse. And so I think the thinking there is, you know, we presume that there's people have been people out and playing pickup basketball. We've seen videos of that. Let's find out who's positive. Let's test them now. Let's isolate them now. And then everyone comes into Orlando with a clean slate.
With Michael Grange, how did the Florida Gulf Coast University situation come together for the Raptors there, Michael? Are there any, I mean, obviously geographically it's relatively close to Orlando. It makes sense. Are there any ties to that school that made this an easy transition, or were the Raptors sort of on a hunt for a spot and somehow ended up landing there?
I'm not aware exactly why Florida Gulf Coast and not some other school. A campus option emerged really early as it was clear that the border situation was going to be, an issue or a complication. And so, I guess they're just, I'm guessing because nobody's really come out and given me the whole strategy behind it. You know, you're looking at a modestly sized school within geographic proximity of Florida who was willing to host, right? And so I think why Florida Gulf Coast and not another school, I don't know exactly. But, you know, the logic makes sense, right? You know, the schools are closed down. The campuses are empty. You can kind of go in there and control the environment a little bit and, move on from there, and fingers crossed, hope everything goes smoothly. But, you know, I think one thing the Raptors were wrestling with is if they achieve their goals, which is to be playing in the NBA Finals into early October, you know, they're going to be in Disney for 10 weeks. And now, you know, because of this need to kind of gather, because their players are so spread out and some in Canada, some not, they're going to, you know, it's going to be another couple of weeks that they're together as a group. So, that's an added complication for the Raptors, but, I think they're going to try and make the best of it. And I presume there's some nice golf courses down there and, they'll find a way.
Yeah. I mean, there's golfing will be fun. I mean, I heard that about the NHL too. They're going to kind of have a one course designated, and that's, the amenities are important, right? To entice teams and players.
Some steamy golf, though. You have to get up early in the morning.
It's going
to
be
you want some early tea times.
June and July. I've had players' unions in the minors in Orlando, and it's hot right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right though, Mike. I we can kind of laugh a little bit about some of the details we've seen regarding, it just sounds like the greatest summer camp ever, right? Like DJs and live comedy and
but that's
say that again.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds great to everybody, but I mean, the way basketball players and professional athletes live, this is like, I'd hate saying this, but this is going to be like jail for a lot of them. I know to us it sounds great, but this is like nothing for guys.
Because they're contained.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have all access to everything, I feel like, no?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think the league has done a great job, and I was saying this on Tim and Sid last night. There are going to be players, I'm sure, who are kind of going to grumble about doing it. And there's certainly at least half of the players who are going to be in Orlando, half of the teams, right? More than half of the teams, really have no reason to be there, right? Like, I mean, there is a little, for each individual player, there is a small financial incentive. But the players who are staying at home are going to get those 8 game checks anyway. As we pointed out earlier, teams that it's very rare there are upsets in the first round. So, it's not like, the Phoenix Suns are going to make a Cinderella run to the NBA Finals. So that's where, you can sense the league bending over backwards to accommodate these guys because they need these players to be there, buy in, and compete. And you just hope that individually and collectively there's an understanding that if the players don't support this effort, if there's some kind of decision to pull out or not participate or not take it seriously or whatever the case may be, that's going to affect, sure, that might be good for you in the short term. You might get an extra couple of months of summer or whatever it is. But that's going to really affect the long-term financial health of the league, which you are roughly a 50% partner in. And it gives the owners a huge advantage heading into the next round of CBA negotiations. And the players have kind of taken it on the chin, incrementally over the last bunch of negotiations. So you just hope that the players understand what's at stake. And, it's easy for the ones who are going to be competing for an NBA title, like there is a clear prize, but it's almost like the other 10, 11, 12 teams that don't quite fit that category have to buy in and have to understand that they're doing it for the overall health of the league.
Take 17.